ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station,
which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go still. 2 hours of the big show rolling along on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio as we open up the 2 o'clock hour. 3 o'clock hour, Mike Golic will be joining us early on. And then for probably the final portion of the show, Astros girl Taryn Hilo will join us. And then hopefully do your podcast so that people will have more that they can peep and listen to along the way.
Any interest in the East at all? Or is it pretty cut and dry to you guys?
You may have a different perspective on this. I just think Milwaukee doesn't have a cakewalk with the one seed. With Blake Griffin and some of the talent Detroit has, I'm not saying that they're going to lose the series, but I think that's not your average 1-8 matchup from that perspective. Overall, I think the Celtics are very vulnerable. I mean, look, if Oladipo's healthy, I give the Pacers a healthy chance to win that series. I think the reason why they won't is because they just don't have enough firepower. But losing Smart on top of all the dysfunction that have been the Celtics, I think the Celtics are the most vulnerable of any team in the top four in the East.
Yeah, Pacers 3-7 down the stretch. Not the way you want to go into the playoffs, especially missing out on your best player. I feel like the East is pretty cut and dry. I think the top four teams advance. I think Bucks, Raptors, Sixers, and Celtics. I don't see any upsets. I don't feel like the Pacers, Nets, Magic, and Pistons are good enough to upset any of those teams. Pistons might give the Bucks a game.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's... I mean, just like the Clippers might win a game against the Warriors.
You think so?
I mean, they might. Stranger things have happened.
True. I just think, with a young team with no true star...
I mean, Pat Beverly's obviously a defensive genius.
Oh, no question.
He knows how to shut down James Harden. He can shut down everybody else.
That's Pat Bezdelic Beverly.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gonna do what's necessary to give the keys to victory to the Jazz. No, I mean, look, as much as like when Van Gundy said that the Rockets have the toughest draw in the first round, on the Eastern side, if I had to pick one, I'd say Boston was drawing Indiana was tough, but they deserved every bit of that the way that they played all year long. And you're right. I mean, and again, from a basketball fan perspective, it's exactly what you want. Second round, you want to see those top four teams all square off because that should be compelling basketball.
Yeah, Bucks, Celtics, Raptors, Sixers would be the second round.
That's
fun.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
And remember, Bucks, Celtics, as much as everybody thinks the Bucks should have a cakewalk, let's remember that the Bucks, Celtics went 7 games last year, mm-hmm. and that was without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. So that would be interesting as well. Fair to say more compelling matchups in the East as we go forward?
In the second round, I would think so. Because you could very well see a 5 or a 6 seed in the West advance.
Yep.
So, yeah, I would think that the East might have a better – they have a worse first round, but maybe a better second round potentially.
Before we blow through get to other things, I did want to mention to you guys too and see what your thoughts are. But now as more and more is coming out about this whole Lakers fiasco, I don't know if you heard this or not, but they're saying that Magic Johnson got wind of the fact that ESPN, whether it be for – SportsCenter and TV or in the magazine, was working on a big expose on his mistreatment of people in his management style.
Is he a jerk?
And a lot of the ways that he was going about mistreating employees and other things that he was doing, and that's maybe why he pulled the plug and walked away.
So he's a jerk.
It's possible. I don't know. I have not personally heard that, but I did hear that ESPN is sitting on this story. I don't know when they plan if they still plan on releasing it, but he got wind of it, and that may be why he decided to step away.
I was going to say that doesn't change it. If you step away, they're still going to come out. I mean, you're still going to have egg on your face as a public figure. You're still going to look bad. You still manage other things, so I don't know. I guess he, if you're being proactive, okay, but that's not going to change it.
Yeah, it's not going to go away. I mean, look, in this day and age, if it's out there, it's out there, and it's going to get out there, and we're going to find out, sooner or later at some point, probably more dirt and details whether you're still the president of basketball operations or not.
Yeah. So. Speaking of stuff getting exposed, did you hear that they pulled Leaving Neverland from HBO?
I did not.
Yeah, they pulled the documentary Leaving Neverland because James Safechuck was one of the people in the documentary that said he was molested by Michael Jackson as a kid. Mm-hmm. And he said they was molested in the train station at Neverland Ranch. And then there was an aerial photo of the train station or of Neverland Ranch at the time he said he was molested, and it didn't exist.
Oh, wow.
So then everyone's like, oh, he made it all up. So they pulled the documentary. Oprah apparently deleted her interviews that she had with these guys on her YouTube channel. But then a guy named Dan Reed, the director, came out and said the following in support of Safechuck. He said, James Safechuck was at Neverland both before and after the construction of the train station. The two still photos that the station show and Leaving Neverland were in fact taken by James, who is very clearly who is very clear that he was abused by Jackson in multiple places over many years. And then he basically said it also makes clear that the sexual contact between James and Michael Jackson continued until he was a teenager. The station at Neverland is just one of the many locations where he said where sexual activity took place. So it's kind of like you look at it, and I know that Jackson's camp is suing the people that made the documentary, and they're working on their own version of the documentary. But you look at it and you go, okay, here's my thought on this, and I'm trying to be rational about it. But he's saying that, oh, I was molested in the train station. And people are like, well, the train station didn't exist. Well, I can tell you this, just to give you an example, because I don't know what the aerial photos were, if it was a Getty image or if it was like a picture from like the maps and stuff.
Right.
But how often is that stuff updated? And how, like, because I know the map of my house on Google Maps, still I don't have grass in the yard on the map.
Or it has a tree where there's no longer a tree.
So I think part of that to me depends on what are we using as the source. And you know what? I don't even remember what we talked about last week on this show. If you wanted me to go back to when I was a kid and experience some trauma like sexual molestation from an adult and expect me to remember every detail and the timeline, I'm probably going to make some mistakes. I'm probably going to misspeak. So, I mean, I was a big Michael Jackson fan. This changed my views of him as a person and whatnot. But I'm not going to begrudge a guy if he got if he made a mistake on a timeline from when he was a kid.
Yeah,
he making a journal?
I was going to say, you can say that it pokes holes in his credibility, but at the same time, you're right. The biggest thing, as a child, your memory is not going to be vivid, crystal clear like a picture, and you'll be able to pick out every detail of what someone was wearing or what was going on. But you're pretty darn sure when someone touches you inappropriately.
Yeah. Do you know how much I remember of my, like, if you were to say, oh, what happened to you when you were 8 years old? I have no idea. Like, I couldn't tell you. Now, if I was doing something with a star like Michael Jackson, I'm sure there would be moments that stood out. But I'm guessing, too, if I was molested as much as James Safechuck said he was molested, as often as it occurred, some of that you just forget. Some of that you just block out.
A lot of trauma and everything else. Yes, the trauma itself and knowing people that have been molested before and talking to them, that's the main thing. It's so dramatic and it's so impactful to them that that's the focus, is the actual act itself or what's been done to them, not like how many cars were in the garage and what car were you in when something might have occurred, things like that. It's just those are details that aren't going to resonate the same way as the actual contact itself.
Yeah, so I just found that interesting. And then apparently Oprah's deleted in a reactionary fashion, deleted the YouTube videos. And apparently there's a headline that says, Oprah says sorry for Michael Jackson slander, deletes Neverland tweets. It's crazy, man. I don't know. I feel like this, though. It's weird, the parallel between what Michael Jackson is accused of doing and R. Kelly is accused of doing. And everybody just shut down on R. Kelly. It was like, we're not playing your music, but we still love Mike. I feel like everybody's still like, eh.
And
It was a different era. No, if it's true, he still molested kids.
I'm not saying it's right, but I think he benefited, honestly, because he died before all this. Like if R. Kelly had died before all this stuff resurfaced, I don't think his music would stop. Like,
that's
people would still
point.
Consuming it, downloading it.
But let me throw the butt at you guys. It was never an unknown with Michael Jackson. It was always out there. It was always hovering over his head, was it not, that this is something that may have occurred? It wasn't like he was squeaky clean his whole life while he was alive. People from Macaulay Culkin to, was it Corey Haim and the other Corey and you know, all these other things were always kind of, the innuendo was out there.
Yep.
So I don't think that, you know, because the R. Kelly, same thing. We all knew that it was out there about R. Kelly. It's just that he got off, no pun intended, but he got off legally the first time that all this came to light. But then because of the documentary, and then some bar, did you see this? Some bar paid him $22,000 for a 1-hour appearance the other day.
Who, R. Kelly?
R. Kelly. Man. It's like, what idiots
let me,
are
let me tell you, he was very was, thankful
was it the,
for that $22,000.
He needs the money.
Was it the monkey bars at the playground? It's funny. Sorry, go ahead. You had another point.
No, I was good.
No? Anything on R. Kelly?
No. I just think that the fact that it resurfaced probably hurt R. Kelly, and as it should have.
Yeah.
I think Michael Jackson's death has really saved him from being viewed as this terrible person. But a lot of people are starting to come out and saying, you know what, Michael Jackson is getting a pass and he shouldn't. I feel like more and more people are starting to realize. But for the most part, and he was at one point the most famous person in the world.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, like in the world, like on the planet.
Remember the top fives would come out. It was him and Michael Jordan. And
yeah, he was up the mics.
Yeah, they were always up there. I thought about, you know, he had something wrong with him just the way he held his kid over the balcony that time.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If you name your kid Blanket, you're an idiot. So hold your kid over the balcony and anything else you do is not going to surprise me. You named your kid Blanket. Blanket.
Yeah.
Blanket.
I mean, you shorten it, it's a good one. But other than that, I'm not going that far.
I mean, are you like, hey, what do you want to name the kid? I don't know. Hand me a blanket. Hand you the blanket? You want Blanket? Oh, are we calling it Blanket? I guess we're calling it Blanket now. So weird.
We're going to continue to roll on. We've got plenty more to get to. Also, we'll take your calls and or comments as necessary. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Let's do a quick Masters update presented by Norton Ditto. First round of the tournament. And for all you people that are casual golf watchers, you have to be happy. Tiger Woods climbing the leaderboard now, tied for the lead, along with Justin Harding. Tiger at 3-under through 14 holes. He is up there, and that always makes golf more exciting for a lot of people. Harding and Woods tied at 3-under, along with John Rahm, followed up by Corey Connors and J.B. Holmes at a group of golfers at 2-under that also feature the names of Ian Poulter, Gary Woodland, and Adam Scott. But the Masters is underway, and it is going to be fun to watch. It's going to be a great weekend. You know I'm dialed into it. You should be, too. This update, as always, throughout the week is going to be brought to you by Norton Ditto, a great place to get some of your best clothing. So stay tuned for more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday. We've mentioned this to you before. We will mention it again, I'm sure. But for right now, as a heads up, Mike Golic is going to join us at about 3:15 today. And then Taryn Hilo, the Astros girl, is going to join us in the final half hour of the show. So lots to get to, including whatever you have on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter.
From the text line, speaking of, somebody said, I've been on the phone with the wife since the show started. Have you guys talked to Astros? How about Mariznick's quietly good start to the season? Yep. Hour number one, we did talk Astros, podcastarena.com, if you want to listen to the first hour of the show. We did not mention Jake Mariznick and his hot start. True, he's off to a hot start, but I'll warn you, don't get excited like it's going to be a thing. We've seen this from Jake Mariznick before. Yeah. He's going to have a good 6 weeks, and then he's going to regress to his mean.
Defense, no, never an issue. The bat, consistently inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
But never, yeah, great night last night.
Yeah. Never finished with higher than a 249 average. Had the 16 home runs in 2017 that he'll probably never do again. He's got, you know, he had 10 in last year's in 103 games. So he's about what his numbers are. He's going to hit about 228. He's going to steal you a few bags, and he's going to play some great defense in center field. And that's what Jake Mariznick is. So great that he's off to a good start. It's not going to last.
And speaking of great defense in center field, how about less than stellar defense in center field last night from Brett Gardner? Woo, was he bad.
Yankees in general look bad defensively this year early on.
They got issues.
Real bad.
I'm here to tell you, they got issues. I don't know if you saw the post game, but they interviewed Boone first, and he was talking about the team. He's like, we're about ready to turn that corner. I can see it. We're going to be – and they asked Aaron Judge, and he paused, real hard pause, and went, what corner?
Ooh.
Yeah, and he got a little bit testy, and he was like, you know, we're out here trying. But, I mean, obviously they have injuries. But, I mean, it just seems like –
a lot of injuries.
Yeah, it was 11 on the
11 guys on the IL, yes.
So that's obviously an issue. But at least you're not the, you know, look, Severino still has arm problems. I don't know what's worse. Severino with arm problems, but you're hoping that it's nothing needing surgery and he'll be back. Or Chris Sale, who can't figure it out and has a 9 ERA and is 0-3. When you look at the Red Sox.
I mean, I think worse is Chris Sale and the Red Sox because you know injuries will heal. I mean, if Chris Sale doesn't get it back this year, if he has a down year, that could be big problems for the Red Sox.
About with all the money that we talk about the Astros rotation and all the questions going into the season, but when you look at what they did, what they've done, David Price, for as good as his postseason was in the regular season as a starter, we know who he is. So they've spent a ton of money to try and bolster and keep that rotation together, and it doesn't look like it's in great shape right now.
I didn't expect the Red Sox to do what they did last year. I just felt like they caught lightning in a bottle, similar to what happened with the Astros in 2017. I thought that they would be a good baseball team. I still had the Yankees winning that division. I just didn't think either of them would look this bad this early. I felt like these two teams had so much – like, you might expect a Mariners team to look good or the Astros to scuffle on the road a little with their bats because bats go cold and that kind of happens. But the Red Sox and Yankees seem to be struggling just about in every facet of the game, it appears.
And it's fun.
Oh, hey.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it because, look, are you really in that? We've talked about this, but really, of all the other teams or the surprise teams early on in the American League, are the Mariners going to scare you?
No.
When their best pitcher's pitching for the Yankees?
They don't even have the best Seager on their squad.
Right. So, I mean, you got to – when you talk about – you were talking about Mariznick and regressing to the mean and coming back. I just got to believe the Mariners are going to come back.
Yeah. Like I said, they're the Clippers of this year. Clippers started off out of the gate hot. What, there were two or three in the conference for a while, about a month, month and a half. And it was like, look out. And then look where they ended. They were eighth. They held on to a playoff spot. I feel like that'll be the Mariners. They'll fade.
Have you seen this, by the way, as we both have been tagged on a couple of different people tweeting this to us, but it looks like there may be more to the story to this lady that's trying to get a million plus out of the Astros.
I did see that tweet.
How about that? Yeah. So now as the story goes, people are coming out of the woodwork to let the record show that she got into kind of a tussle over the T-shirt, and that may or may not have caused the injury.
The guy behind her and her were going after it because apparently they don't have access to T-shirts. And so she had to fight with another person because there was just no other T-shirts on the planet for her to get her hands on. So she had to have a death grip and a death blow with a guy behind her for this one T-shirt. It was that important. But apparently she admitted it on social media where somebody said, did you at least get the shirt? Her response was, the guy behind me, he had come over the back of me to get it. Honestly, I think that's how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, don't know if that's Photoshop. Don't know if that's anything. But that's interesting if it's true. And I don't know what that – I can't tell if that's Twitter or if that's – oh, that's Facebook. Maybe we'll go to her Facebook and see. I'll friend her. Let's go friend her on Facebook and see if we can get in on this.
There you go.
Because I'm going to sympathize with her. I'm going to be like, you know what? I, too, have had my finger broken by a T-shirt cannon. It was that son of a bitch clutch Oh, no, wait. Or is that Orbit? I get them confused. I'm kind of mascot racist. No. I don't know which is which. One of them did something, though. One of them shot me in the balls, ma'am. I'm with you. I support you 1,000%.
Does your Facebook say what you do besides comedian?
Oh, no. In my Facebook, literally, the only description it says is idiot.
Perfect.
Pretty accurate.
Because then when she friends you and you start being sympathetic and maybe there's a little dialogue and you go, hey, why don't you come on our radio show and talk a little bit about it.
Joel, that's it. That's the play. I'm going to go friend her.
All right, 90 in the books. 90 still to go. Second half of the show is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. It's Barry. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's the Thursday on the big program as we head to an FYF Friday. Our friend, your friend Barry, my acquaintance, Billy D. Washington, will be in studio for an FYF Friday tomorrow, as I kid with him about that. And today, of course, in the 3 o'clock hour, Mike Golick via the phone and Taryn Hilo in studio, if all goes as well.
I can't find her.
Find who? Oh, the lady.
Yeah.
What about a quick Google search just to find any social media she may have?
Well, I'm on Melissa Correa's KJOU page, and she's got stuff listed, and she's got pictures of the finger in question. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, this lady's hand has morphed. It's changing colors. She starts off as a white lady, and then about picture three, she's an African-American lady now. I don't know if she got a tan or what happened, but tell me why this woman's hand starts off white and then...
Oh, Lord.
She turned into a black woman.
Yeah.
What was the lady that...
Joanna Man or...
No, what was the lady that was a... Rachel Dolezal. She's the Astros version.
Yeah. Yep.
She's the Astros version of Rachel Dolezal, but in reverse. Or no, I guess she is just...
Wasn't the movie with the makeup, though, Joanna Man?
I don't know. I don't get it. The pictures look like, I don't know. We've all jammed a finger. That's kind of what it looks like when you jam your finger. You lose all the wrinkles in your knuckle for a while, and then that's it. But she's got x-rays, and she said the Astros never responded, and I don't know. But I can't find her on and I'm sure if we had her on the show, she wouldn't talk. She'd be like, well, it's a legal matter.
Her
I can't
lawyer
discuss
would talk.
It. Yeah.
If you see him, like I've told you, he looks like a character out of WWE.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he looks, even Lee, and Melissa Correa works with Lisa at KHOU. By the way, here's just a sidebar for you. Trey has a huge crush on Melissa Correa.
Trey does?
Yep.
I'm surprised.
Juggalo Trey
is
a big
chicks.
Fan of Melissa Correa.
He likes black chicks, so that's a bit surprising.
No, he's inquired before with me if Lisa.
Oh, is he trying to
up with Melissa?
Really
Correa.
Trying to give her a ride to Pound Town?
I'm not going to go that far. Hmm. I'm just going to say that their inquiry
is that
was
her?
Made.
Is that her?
Yep.
Talking about from Channel
11.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Trey's a fan.
All right.
Okay.
But when the feature was, or whatever you call it, the news story was on, the lady said she may never, the finger may never be the same. She may never get full usage out of it again.
This woman has definitely asked for the manager several times.
Yeah,
in
and
her
let's
life.
Be honest
let's
with
be
this.
Real.
When she keeps like saying the Astros never responded.
Sir, I've been waiting for someone to refill my tea for 3 minutes. That's definitely this chick.
Let's be honest. If you've worked in big companies, I worked for a couple of sports teams. If you responded, first of all, if you respond to any kind of inquiry like this or any kind of complaint, and you respond when you can already see the writing on the wall that there's probably an ulterior motive, that they're looking to try and cash in. then they know they got you because you're engaged in it. You may be worried about it, and they want to create more dialogue with you on it. But in most cases, if they don't respond, then you just hope that they go away.
Yeah.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't, I think, is that situation. Because if you don't address it, then it looks like, you know, you're trying to hide something. If you do address it, it almost looks like you're guilty. It's just not a good dynamic, honestly, for any company.
I just don't see how it's possible unless you are point blank right there and standing in front of the gun, mm-hmm. and they shoot it. And I don't see how 20, 30 rows deep a flying T-shirt is going to break a bone in your body.
You're fragile.
I'm not a bone expert. Milk. Yeah, I was going to say, you might need to up your calcium. I'm not a bone expert. Your bone density is that of a dried up twig.
Drink more milk.
I don't know. This all smells wishy-washy.
That's the first thing. When I heard the story to say she was 24, 25 rows back, I've seen
she's
those.
She's not taking multivitamins. Her calcium.
I've seen these prize cannons that they call them and the BFGs, as we call them, but I've seen what shoots out these T-shirts. I wasn't buying it then. I'm not buying it now. And maybe now with what we're getting kind of some tweets about, maybe this makes more sense that in the scuffle to get the T-shirt with a man that maybe something happened there.
Somebody said, I just hope the Astros don't stop using the T-shirt gun just because of this lady. Oh, no.
You verified that.
Last night, Orbit, he was hunting for fingers. He was looking. He's like, which one of you hoes want to lose a finger tonight? Like, it didn't stop him. I think that they looked at this and went, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way that this is a thing. I mean, you can sue all you want. By the way, you really going to take on the Astros and think you're going to win that?
You better lawyer up harder than the guy that you got. Yeah, because they got a whole lot of lawyers they can bring to the table.
I really want to see what her lawyer looks like. Where did you find this?
Well, on the news story. On several different news stories. He's
Channel
speaking,
11?
He's either speaking with her or for her.
On Channel 11?
Channel 11. Or? I think
he might even be doing it pro bono, right? It's a possibility because it's kind of a public story.
Here's the thing. He may be doing it, and if they win, he'll defer a lot of his fees and payments to if they win or not, and if they win, he'll cash in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, think about that. When you got all the lawyers Jim Crane can bring to the table, not let alone the fact that he has an in-house counsel that's on staff with the Astros, I'm sure they're ready to go. They've got better things in their mind to do than focus on this, because if you do it for, like you said, I think, you open up a can of worms. If she wins, if they give this the attention and then she ends up winning, you're going to have fans coming out of the woodwork with different claims and complaints.
Or they could settle and try to get it, you know, out of the way before it gets to that situation.
But that could be worse, too.
It could.
Because
it absolutely
then people
could.
Are thinking, well, I saved the legal fees and I get more money.
Yeah.
I can't find her lawyer anywhere. Damn it. I really want to see him.
If you go to the KHEU page and watch the feature.
I have a picture in my head of what he looks like, and I want to validate.
Go ahead. I
want to
hear what you think he looks like.
I feel like he's wearing I feel like he looks like you're saying a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he would look like Jerry the King Lawler. With like a but have the suit on. Who was the guy that had the beard and wore the flame suit and he was the manager of the Honky Tonk Man? Who was that?
Not Bobby.
That's not Bobby the Brain Heaton. No. But not Jim Cornette. That was the Malibu Express. Who was the guy that had the beard, had a real high squeaky voice, and he wore a flames jacket? I picture that jacket on Jerry the King Lawler. That's what I picture in my head when you tell me that. So we need to validate if that's true or not.
Sun-drenched face, tight cut, crew cut. Looks like at one point he lifted weights.
Is he T-shirt with a jacket guy, turtleneck with a jacket guy?
He was dress shirt, no tie with a jacket guy for this, but okay. I could easily see T-shirt with a jacket guy.
Hey, I rock T-shirt and jacket.
I'm with you, too.
It's not...
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just answering.
I just think if you... It depends on how you do it as well.
Have you thought about throwing it out there to get people to donate some T-shirts for you to wear on the air?
No, I've never thought about that. Okay.
Now you got me obsessed with trying to find you the picture of this.
Yeah, I want to know what this cat looks like. I just want to see, is he like a broke-ass Jim Adler, or is he like Rusty Harden? Where does he fall in the pantheon of Houston-based lawyers? Which one is he?
I'm not answering that.
No?
No.
Okay.
I'm not making any invitations or.
All we know is if you go to the Astros game, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your fingers, because they're breaking everybody out here. So be careful.
You saw it. You saw him, but you saw him not. They're not. They're not scared. No, they're out there firing their shots last night.
Nope, they were shooting that cannon for sure. Somebody was looking on her for her on Facebook and Twitter and can't find her. I imagine she had to shut that down. Could you imagine if Astros Twitter got a hold of this chick? They would be relentless. Yeah, well, they would be ruthless.
I told you this. The pattern the first night the story came out was everybody tweeting pictures, hashtag I'm not suing the Astros. So they were taking family shots with Orbit and otherwise with the hashtag I'm not suing.
That's funny.
So
somebody said Joe Blank can give Masters updates and the rest of us are deprived of lawn talk during one of the most important times of the year. So.
If it was up to me, y'all wouldn't get either.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just that big of a dick on this show that you just anything that anyone else is interested in that
people
you're
have
not,
preferences. We can't I'm not talk interested about. In golf, and I'm definitely not interested
well, you're
in
not
your
a
lawn
listener
talk.
Of this show.
Yeah,
you
I am.
Work here.
I listen every day.
You listen less than listeners do. Are you kidding me?
That's so
you
not true.
You know less of what goes on this show hour to hour than anyone else.
I take a segment or two off, but it's not the whole show.
A segment or two?
But it's not a full segment from start to finish. It's chopped up. So you take portions of different parts of different segments.
Get your ass out of here with that. You don't even listen to
I'm
this
I'm trying
damn
to help
show.
You out. By what? Trying to prevent him from talking golf, and now you're yelling at me.
No, because you lumped in lawn talk with Masters
Barry
talk.
Barry will occasionally
two
talk
separate
golf.
Things.
He just is kind of fired up about the whole premise around the Masters.
You're not going to watch? Didn't you watch
I watched,
the Masters
I watched
last year?
Sunday. Yeah, I watch on Sundays.
You watch Tiger,
I'm not,
too.
I'm not like you guys. Like, you guys, when it comes to lawn talk, you are 1,000% shut it down no.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to talk Thursday early round Masters. But on Monday, we can talk what happened over the weekend.
How would you describe
no
this show? Sports and entertainment. Lawn talk, neither.
Lawn talk is entertaining.
No, it's
and
not.
And what are most sports played on? A lawn, bitch. Shut it down. Oh, he looks like Triple H.
A little bit, right?
Yeah. He looks like Triple H. He looks like he wears jeans with the white thread on them still. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like the, yeah. What's the... With
he
the...
definitely has a couple of affliction shirts. He's going to sue me, what's isn't the... he, for slander?
Mm-hmm.
She might too if I said anything.
But you could totally make fun of him if he wears that
stitching jeans.
Shirt.
What is that true. With the horseshoe on the pocket? True Religion,
Lucky,
True Religion, and Lucky. Oh, but True Religion were the ones too. I was thinking of. But
she has definitely asked for the manager several times. Seeing her picture, like I said, yeah, she's the one that gets mad if her glass is empty for more than 50 seconds.
But
like,
does he know?
I am so parched. Where is our waiter at? I am so thirsty right now. My kids don't have anything to color on. This is the last time we come to this Applebee's. I'll tell you that. All right, ma'am.
Does he not look like he's representing her and protecting her? He looks like security / lawyer.
This is basically the Houston version of Galluli and Harding.
Yeah.
Or Tanya
absolutely.
Harding.
Although he's in better shape than
Galluli,
the Galluli's hitman, the guy that looked like he was.
He looks like he would whip our ass, though. I ain't gonna lie. He's a big dude, but you definitely he has definitely owned an affliction shirt and a pair of jeans with white thread, and he's worn a white belt and tucked half of his shirt in at one point
with a buckle.
You know,
with
the buckle. Oh yeah, you know the half tuck where you just do one side. He's done that. I know he's done that at least once.
There you go.
I've done that at least once, so I'm not throwing stones.
That means you've worn affliction shirts.
I had affliction shirts.
See, you're that D-bag.
So that's what I'm saying.
You're not that D-bag.
I'm not out here in a glass house throwing D-bag. Stones.
Did you have Ed Hardy shirts?
Never owned an Ed Hardy shirt. You can, nope.
Okay.
I had an affliction shirt, tap out shirt. I had both.
And you said that it was because of the UFC stuff, right?
I was heavy off into MMA, bro. What do you want
the
me to do?
The jeans with the holes. Yeah. Affliction t-shirt and then the shoes.
You talking about my jeans?
Oh, I forgot. You still wear jeans with holes.
Oh, these are popular right now.
Get it straight, man.
A-hole.
You're too come fat on. And old for those jeans, sir.
Excuse me?
Yeah. We got to go to break. We'll come back while these two duke it out. Don't go anywhere. It's much more The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Last word. I'm ready.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hour number 3 will feature Mike Golick of Golick and Wingo, as well as Astros girl Taryn Hyla. I don't know what you're doing.
I can't see. So. My glasses are getting bad. I got to go get new glasses.
Are your eyes bad or your glasses?
My eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The glasses. Probably why you picked those sorry-ass pants that you're wearing right now. You couldn't see.
Yeah. I thought I did enough to diffuse the situation, but evidently not.
Let me put my glasses on and see what your dumb
ass is
wearing.
I don't even know why I'm picking on them, to be honest with you.
Is that one of those shirts that as it gets hot, it changes colors?
What were those called? No. Hypercolor? Or?
Nick is in here rocking a button-up hypercolors.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
they don't change. It doesn't
Like, you look like a used tampon right now.
I do not look like a used tampon.
You're an A&M fan? I didn't know you were an Ag.
You're all red.
It's
look
dark
like
red.
A used
maroon.
Maroon.
Dark red.
Dark red. Maroon.
You don't know your colors.
I do know what maroon is. I'm just saying it's a darker red.
Nick's colors are basically the color or the darker or light.
Yeah.
It's like dark red, light red,
it's
red.
It's either blue, dark red, or light blue.
Dark
it's
blue, light blue. Yeah.
It's not blue. Pink.
There's no fuchsia.
It's light red.
There's no salmon.
Yellow, dark, pink, dark yellow, light yellow.
Dark pink, light pink, pink. I'm with you, though. I get in trouble for messing those up as well. I'd be like, my wife would be like, what color was it? I'd be like, light brown. She's like, that's tan, you dumbass. That's light brown, though.
Tan, khaki.
Amber.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Whatever.
Butterscotch.
A couple more texts on the text line. Somebody, Corey in Houston, people can barehand catching fly balls all day with no problems, but she can't catch one t-shirt. It's absurd.
That might be.
Is that Corey on the phone?
Corey, right
there.
Oh,
my
bad,
Corey. Did I steal your thunder?
So before we respond to that, let's see if it's Corey that's also calling the show. Corey, what's up?
Was that your text?
You know what? Funny enough, it was. Yeah, funny enough, it was. Huh. But I got a story for you about my wife who met Astro at a day game. She was with a friend who was singing the national anthem. And after the game, they were going to go do photos because we were engaged and she was doing engagement photos. I had all of her hair done up, and Astro was trying to give her like the sign to give her a little kiss on the cheek. And she reached up to give him a kiss, and like he reached over, like pecked her on the face. And like bumped her in the nose, and she's like, "Oh my god, he almost broke my nose." And we just cracked up and thought it was hilarious because that's just Astro being Astro.
You mean Orbit? You're saying Astro? You mean Orbit, right?
Yeah, Orbit. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah,
anyone Orbit, that mixes up their mascots is dumb. By the way, Corey, I did that, so it's okay. Dumb, dude. That's funny though. Yeah, see, but your point about
and that's funny crap. If it would have messed up our wedding and the photos, we might have been pissed, but I don't think we would have sued.
That's
I'm
the
with
bigger
you, man.
Issue.
Appreciate
yes.
the call, Corey. That's the big thing is, and his point about how many fans catch a baseball? No problem. You can't catch a t-shirt? You're that brittle? What are you, Mrs. Glass?
Now, we've talked about this. The disclaimers on the back of the ticket that you take on certain risks when you enter the stadium with a ticket to the ball game. And that basically the protection is from flying objects like bats and balls that are in play, out of play, foul balls, et cetera, like that. Obviously, I don't think it includes the game presentation t-shirts and things like that.
Right.
But I'd be interested to see the actual, because a lot of lawyers would read through this and go, look.
It's, anything.
Yeah. You're
flying in the stands.
They're not liable, you know, for baseballs, bats, or other objects.
Yeah. By the way, so many texts and tweets about the wrestler manager I was thinking of, Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Mm.
I couldn't even read you all the names that texted it or tweeted me, so thank you to everybody that helped me find that name because my stupid brain couldn't remember it. But yeah, Jimmy Hart, he used to wear like a flaming jacket, and I just would picture that guy. I was off, though. He was more Triple H than Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, and I guess we could tweet out a picture of the lawyer, but
yeah.
People can find it.
Yeah.
Just Google lady suing Astros for t-shirt, and you'll find a video that you can find with this picture.
Somebody did text the show and say she's on IG. I couldn't find her on Facebook. I couldn't find her on Twitter, but she is on Instagram. Her account is private, but this is her bio in the profile. It just says her name, and then it says, smile pretty and be elegant. Listen to your mom. When in doubt, overdress. Call everyone darling. Mind your manners.
And sue somebody.
Now, is this the actual lady, or because the...
No, that's her.
The tweet that we got was from somebody else that was saying...
No, that's her IG.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not even going to send her a friend request, because that'll just look creepy. Facebook is different. IG, you start sending friend requests on IG and you look creeper.
Yeah.
I'm
new to it. I'm learning as I go.
Somebody suggested that at least with lawn talk is useful. Golf talk. You can't go home and fix your golf.
Said anything yet, but I got the easiest answer to all of this.
Which is?
Get lawn talk sponsored.
I probably could. I didn't even think about that.
Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
Oh, yes.
Do not do that.
There you go.
Why would you give them that idea?
Listen, if you guys out there know of a tractor company, fertilizer, maybe a nursery, or anyone that would want to sponsor Lawn Talk, we could do a daily segment. Barry's Lawn Tip of the Day, brought to you by. I'm down. That's a great idea, Joel. You can go to hell, Nick. This is all I'm going to work on from now on.
I hope
all
you never get one.
All
I
of
hope
my
you
other
don't
projects,
get one.
The album, the all the comedy. This is all on hold until we get Lawn Talk sponsored. Period.
Okay.
Until then,
shut your mouth.
There you go.
Is that fair? Doesn't matter how many texts you get about people requesting Lawn Talk. Can't bring it back up until you get a sponsor.
I mean, there may be one that slips through the cracks on me on accident, because you guys know I preview on the fly.
You
so
do.
So I can't say 100%. But, all right. Have y'all seen the jazz writer Andy? They just said dumbass jazz writer Andy asking, quote, Houstonites for the hot spots in town. Bitch, we Houstonians. This ain't Austin. Find them yourself is what he said.
But I will say, to give credit to someone, David Locke, who's the radio voice of the Jazz, was quick to tweet out that Houston, in his mind, had become the best food city in America. And he tweeted that out this morning. So he was looking forward to coming to H-Town.
Oh, here it is. Andy Larson on Twitter, at Andy B. Larson. Dear Houstonites, please tell me good things about your city. I'll be spending 5 days there next week. What food should I try? What sights should I see? So many things I want to say to this guy. One, tell me something good about your city. The Jazz don't play here. There's number one that's good about our city. We don't have the Utah Jazz. Two, our fans aren't racist. How about that? That's a good thing. Three, what sight should I see? See the back of the bus as you leave, bro. Like, what are you, you don't have Google? You don't have Google. Everybody else in this planet that could take a trip to Houston can pull up Google. You're a writer. I know you know how to type. You can't Google things to do in Houston? Stay there, man. Watch on TV. You're too dumb to come to Houston.
You're going to just avoid the whole choir and church and...
Huh?
You're going to skip the Mormon part of it and just stick with that?
Know. I mean, you know he's coming. He can't afford to fly all his wives here anyways. So
I
it's
do
just
that.
Him.
See, there we go. That's what you I was waiting for. That was the kicker. I just was waiting for that
you
one.
Put that, you brought that one up. That's
oh,
not
But
me.
You finished Andy, it nicely.
Andy, bro. Like, oh, he's on ESPN. We should get him to call in, and then I'll just roast him right here. And
That'd
he can
be
roast
great.
Me.
Yes.
We can just roast each other.
That would be fantastic.
I would enjoy that.
Roast each other. He wouldn't have a chance.
Have you seen his picture?
No. Does he look like the lawyer from the t-shirt lady?
No. He looks like
Tim Kirkchin.
Opie Taylor's studious son.
Okay.
Isn't it Opie Taylor? Wasn't that Mayberry?
From the Andy Griffith show.
Yeah, doesn't he look like if Opie Taylor had a son and he was studious?
Looks like my college roommate.
He looks like your college roommate?
And his nickname was Opie.
Andy,
so yes.
Bro. Andy, stop trying to snuggle up to Houstonians. We don't care about you or the Jazz or the writers for the Jazz.
Yeah, just read Vernon Maxwell's tweets starting yesterday.
Stay in Salt Lake and burn your crosses out there. Don't come out here.
Once you see a former player's response to anything Salt Lake City in Utah, you'll figure it out.
No, it's too late to try to act nice now.
Right.
We know where you're from.
Damage done and all of that.
And please don't tweet expecting an apology. You won't get one.
Bye. There you have it. Just like hour number two. Bye. We got a third hour of the show coming up right around the corner. Again, guests coming up as well as plenty more to get to and talk about. So don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.